to leave behind worship. Worship to God. Praise God. Well, just in case you're holding your bulletin in your hand and you see you're not seeing double or even triple now. For the last 3 weeks, we've had accountability on there as part two. And I never really got to it. Because, you know, you got to understand something about the Holy Spirit. He is not a machine that you can just plug into and just, he's a person. And you need to engage the Holy Spirit. He is not going to jump in with your narrative. He wants you, he's inviting you all the time to engage in his narrative and his plan and what he wants to do. And I'll tell you what, the messages that I was going to bring were good. But I think we did good just listening to the Lord the last couple of weeks too. Amen. Praise God. So we are in our series here called Faithfulness, the Law of Promotion. How many of you guys want to be promoted in the kingdom of God? How many want to be promoted above your problems, above shortages, above strife, above anger, above all of the miserable things of this world and the snot that the devil has thrown into humanity and said, live with it? And you don't have to, by the way. You don't have to live with any of that. God has an answer that most people don't want to hear. And I'm not talking about people of the world. I'm talking about Christians. A little closer to home than that, I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christians. A little closer than that, I'm talking about Word of Faith, Holy Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, gift-moving people. They have a certain limit that they will submit to, or that they'll be accountable to, or that they'll be committed to, that they'll be consistent in, and only a limited amount that they will be willing to steward. Do you know what? If you want all of God, he wants one thing. He wants all of you. This world has nothing to offer. It is trash. It is garbage. It is temporary. It'll be folded up and burnt away like a crisp with nothing left of it one day. But you know, it says in 1 John, those who do the will or the word of God will remain. So if you're standing on if you're building your life on the foundation of the word of God, you will be in the best place you can possibly be for all eternity. It's real. It is real. Pooh. Talk about burning in me, like Dwight was talking. Joe, what did Dwight get raptured? Oh, that's right. He's okay. Because I knew he was lit, but you know, Enoch got lit too. Oh, praise God! So for the last 3 weeks, you're not seeing double or triple. Yes, we're going to talk about accountability, but we're also going to include in there commitment and consistency. So next week, we're going to wrap this up with stewardship. And these are all powerful, powerful, big discussions on the faithfulness. Let me just review. You can't decide just one day that, oh, yeah, I'm going to be faithful. It doesn't work that way. Faithfulness is a product of other things. Just like a flower, a rose, doesn't decide it's going to be a rose. No, it is a product of the root system of that rose, or of that azalea, or of that rhododendron, or of the flowers, or a pear doesn't decide to be a pear. It's a fruit of a pear tree. So faithfulness, being a fruit of the Spirit, has five root systems that it draws from. It draws from submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, stewardship. And when they come together like tributaries in a river, they explode into the blossom, the fruit of faithfulness. Amen? And faithfulness is a powerful thing. Faithfulness is the law of promotion. Because in faithfulness lies your promotion. Praise God. Now, I have a certain something here. And first of all, I have this little bag here. This is a sack. Fruit sacks. And in this sack is submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship and everything. And they are, and this is so light, a strong breeze could just take it away. I mean, it's just, it'll make you float. I also have something else here. I have a sack of rocks. And in this sack are many different kinds of rocks. I double bagged this so it wouldn't break. This one is, this one's strife. This one is confusion. This one is envy. This one's hatred. You got a whole bunch of these. Now, the decision is yours. Do you want to carry this around until one arm is longer than the other? Do you want this to slow you down for the rest of you? You don't want to show up, Father, it's Jesus, this is the judgment throne of Christ. What are you holding in your hand? Oh! Too late. No, you don't want to lose any rewards. Amen. So why are you carrying these things? Worry, fear, agitation, offense, bitterness, resentment. Why are you carrying those around? Did Jesus wash you with his blood? Did Jesus promise? Romans chapter 5 says, for by faith we have access to this grace. Every one of the fruit of the Spirit is a product of the grace of God. It's his fruit. And it is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. If you are a true believer, you are not just a man or a woman altered. You are a man or a woman completely remade. You are totally new in your spirit. Totally. Wall to wall, Holy Spirit. Wall to wall, anointed with God in his anointing. I love that. Fruit. See, and I think, because I was really looking for, Lord, how do I get into like accountability here? Well, be accountable. So you got to get in with his narrative. So that's what I was doing. But faithfulness is the door to your promotion. Faithfulness, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the recreated human spirit. Luke chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus said this, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Faithfulness, what's the flip side of that? The flip side is that if you are faithful in the unrighteous mammon, guess what? God will start to commit to you the true riches. He will entrust you with the true riches, the eternal riches, which will never fade. They are pregnant with reproductive power. The true riches are the products that only faith can bring. Only love can bring. Only the peace of God can bring. Though they're products of supernatural powers. The peace of God is a supernatural power. Jesus used it. He released peace to the storm. And the wind and the waves, they all, okay. Yeah. How'd you like to wake up from your nap and a tornado's coming right at you? And people are saying, don't you care that we die? Accusing the Lord that he doesn't care if you die. Come on. But when trouble happens, what do you do? What happened to all that fruit? How about long-suffering patience? Okay. So the flip side of that is, if you are faithful, you will be endowed with the trust of the true riches. See, once the Lord knows you can handle temptations, you can handle the little pressures, you can handle the little deceptions of the devil. Once he knows that and he sees that fruit bearing faithfulness in your life, then he can give you more. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 16. We've been over this verse before. He said, "You didn't choose me." I can just picture the way he said that. "You didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you." You know, you've been ordained by God to do what? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now that last phrase, "he may give it you," that doesn't mean he may or he may not. You ever think that way? He may. I mean, how can you release your faith on that? It says, "This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him." We got to know that faith doesn't question. That would be a question. If we had, well, let's see. So if I go forth and bear fruit, there's a good chance that he'll give me what I ask. Anything. What did he say? "Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you." What does that really say? Here's what it is. You want the long answer or the short answer? I can hear you. You're embarrassed to say, but give me the short answer. The short version is that fruit that you have that's remaining is speaking for you. It tells him something about you. Not that he doesn't know it already. But you see, you have an enemy. And that fruit talks to him too. Here's what he sees. God sees that you can handle it. So that's the go-ahead that he needs for him, so that he may give you anything that you ask. Why? Because your fruit is already speaking for you. And every devil in hell looks at that fruit, and you know what they say? And Jesus, your intercessor, your mediator, is standing there saying, "You're going to know him by his fruit." And they see that fruit, and they know that that's how you are received and backed up by heaven. The fruit that you have borne, the fruit that remains. You know, Lori and I had a nursing home ministry for 7 years at a church. And when I left that nursing home ministry, we put it in some really good hands. And about 3 years ago or so, we were walking out of Costco. And one of the people, in fact, we had Brian's mom, Marta, was one of the people that we handed. But we ran into Beverly Andrews coming out of Costco. And this was years after we left that. And she said, I said, "Beverly, you know, how's the nursing home ministry going?" She says, "It's going. It's going good." And we had a conversation. It was a real blessing to hear the things were going on. And as I walked away, the Lord said, "That was fruit that remains." I'm not boasting. If my boast, I'm boasting in God. If it was me, it would have dropped dead years ago. That's how much confidence I have in my flesh. You should have no confidence in your flesh. That's why you need the fruit of the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says in Galatians 5:16. That's a good verse. You ought to write that down. But that's empowering. That's empowering to know that it's not may or may not give you. No, if you're bearing fruit, if you're bringing forth fruit and that fruit is remaining, don't discount it, because you're leaving heavenly premium on the table that is unused. And I'm telling you something, there are people who are wallowing in their own messes. They're wallowing in everything, and they don't have to, because they have so much fruit on the table that they don't even recognize is there. It's there. Let God bring it to pass. Start asking whatsoever. What is it that you need? You know, Dwight was talking earlier about if you have a birthday and there's nobody to give you presents and so forth, then, you know, just, Jesus, I need a birthday present. You know, that is so not, that is perfectly acceptable to him when you say that. I'm going to tell the story again. There's this, if you haven't heard it for quite a while, because that's what I haven't told. But there was a woman who gave this testimony one night in church. And her husband was, he just took off. Left her with five kids and just strapped her with all the responsibilities and just took off. And she was working three jobs just to make ends meet with no hope of anything ever changing. I mean, if you're a single mom with one child, you know, the world's chances, I mean, God can do anything, but the world's chances of you remarrying are real slim and none. But with five kids? And you talk about hopeless. Well, when you got five kids, you got a lot of laundry. And with a lot of laundry, her washing machine and dryer were both, they were on the fritz. And they were going down fast. And so she said to the Lord one night, you know, Lord, I'd really like it if you would see your way clear. It's my birthday coming up in 2 weeks, and I'd really like to have a new washer and dryer just to give the kids, you know, just make sure that I can give them fresh clothes and get them off to school and whatever. And she had a talk with them, and then 2 weeks came and went. Okay. It's okay. I'm all right. And then one night about 5 minutes after midnight, the phone rings, wakes her up out of a sound sleep. And it was a woman from her church. And she said, "Do you need a new washer and dryer?" And she said, well, yeah, I do. She said, "We're going to meet you at the appliance store," whatever that was, "at the appliance store tomorrow at 10 a.m. if you can be there, and we're going to buy you a new washer and dryer. The Lord's been talking to me about it for the last 2 weeks. And tonight he put the worry warts on me so bad I couldn't sleep. I had to call you and tell you." So she goes down to the kitchen, gets a glass of water. And she says, "Lord, thank you. Thank you so much." And she just, it was like a relief just coming, a weight off of her shoulders. She said, "Lord, but there's one thing that's bothering me. I mean, you ask us to be specific with our prayers. And I asked you for that on my birthday, and my birthday came and went. And where were you? I mean, what was the problem? Was it me? Because I'd like to know." And he said, "What day is it?" She looked at the calendar. It was the day she was born again. And God didn't let 5 minutes go by before he told her. And said, "Happy birthday. Here's your new washer and dryer." That's the day that she became his daughter. That's the day that he became her father. That's the day that covenant realities became hers. Now there are so many Christians who are wallowing in that mess of their life and everything, not submitting up to a certain point, accountable up to a certain, no, get it all right. Just know that you have so much going for you that if you put these things together, it'll start popping. It'll start popping roses where there were thorns. You'll get a glorious growth. God loves you. And he doesn't want to see you toiling under a bunch of stuff that is totally useless and totally unnecessary for his people to be under when he has done so much to raise you up. If he did it for that woman, who was that woman? Was she someone famous or right? No, she was one of his. And he let her know about it. Why? Because she asked him for something in the name of Jesus. And it allowed him, it put things into place so that he would be able to get it to her. God is not the problem. We are the roadblock to his blessings. And when we operate in submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship, guess what? We start taking those building blocks of opposition out of the way one after another, because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humility submits to God. Humility is accountable to God. Commitment to the truth, commitment to the word of God, you're committing to him. And when you commit to him, he commits to you. It's that simple. You get that? Or would you like to have fear? Coupled together with everything else fear brings. Let's go over these fruit of the Spirit. Would you like to do that? Okay, on one hand, we have the fruit of the Spirit, light, happy, joyful, strong, powerful, walking with God, blessing, light, and paradise. I mean, that's the way God made Eden. It was called paradise. That's what Eden means. But the fruit of the Spirit, it says, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means patience for our, but really the word patience in the Greek is word for endurance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, love. Here's love. The antithesis of love is what? What's the opposite of love? Hate. That's right. They're both four-letter words. Hate. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus hated iniquity. He loved righteousness. He hated iniquity. You need to take hate and just look at it and tell it, you have no, this is cast all your cares on him. Hate. I'm not going to throw it at the wall because I'll make a hole in it. But hate, you have no place in my life. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Kamala Harris. Hate, you have no place in my life. So devil, I'm going to commit to pray for her. And all the people that I have resented or have bitterness toward or whatever, I'm going to start praying for them just to undo what you did in me and blocked me from getting that blessing. I'm going to undo it. I'm going to start loosing grace on that person. Whack! 98 miles an hour. Right over the plate, whiffed them totally. Gone. Joy. What's the opposite of joy? Let's get a real heavy one here. Depression. You know, it's amazing to me how many Christians I meet, spirit-filled Christians, who suffer from depression. You know, depression is believing a lie. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's no wonder he works trying to put depression on people so adamantly and so continually and consistently and so absolutely ruthlessly. You know what? You got to get ruthless with joy. And say, depression, you have no place in my life. This is another way of meditating on the Word of God. Get something real, like this is a parable, okay? This is something you can hold in your hand. This is something you can see and understand, that you need to take depression and throw it away as hard as you possibly can. Warm up first, because you don't want to throw your arm out. But throw it up right from here. This depression is vomit. It is the devil's medicine. It's what makes his life easy if you stay depressed. Peace. Peace is powerful. You know, it says that your look of peace can still, you know, it says when, in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 1, and he says that in nothing be terrified. But when people see your peace, it'll be an evident token of their perdition, but to you of righteousness and that of God. Peace speaks for you. It's a fruit that speaks for you, and it puts the enemy on notice. You see, thing about the enemy is he'll always take the easy route. He's a sneak, but he's also a coward. That's you know, the Antichrist, they say, oh, the Antichrist, he's going to be so powerful. He's got nothing but fear. What has he got? Nothing. He is fueled by fear, worry, cares, everything, and the cares of this world and everything on him that the devil has, darkness questions and all of that. He doesn't have anything. Oh, he'll do these great things. No, he won't. He'll be deceiving people. I mean, we've got AI now. They never thought of that, did they? Artificial intelligence. Now, I don't see how those two go together. Okay. But you see what I mean? Things are getting clever. Stephen, I even got this email saying, artificial intelligence for sermons. Delete. Ain't real. Peace. What's the opposite of peace? Strife. Chaos. Disorder. Everything out of place, take it and chuck it. I'm not forfeiting my peace. I will not forfeit my crown to anyone. I got to turn the page here. This is getting good. Is it getting good for you? Long suffering. That's a quality. Patience. When you possess your vessel with patience, it really means to endure. It means that they can't get inside you. The opposite of long suffering is impulsiveness. Outbursts of anger. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to wait for him to apologize. I'll take this thing into my own hands. I'll settle this thing right now. That's not patience. That is the trap of the enemy. And you are loaded with offense and anger and revenge. That's the opposite of long suffering. Long suffering goes a long way with God. And it's the perfect justice system, because if he was so long suffering for you, shouldn't you be long suffering for somebody else who's hurt you? Have you hurt anybody? I'm sure you have. We all have. Outbursts, taking things into one's own hands, taking the shortcut, the risks, and you know, all of that. You know, it's gambling. What's behind that is a lack of patience. They want everything now. They want everything for free. It's laziness, and God hates it. Long-suffering is something he loves, and he'll come. When Paul was in prison, it says, the Lord was with me, and he encouraged me. No matter where you are, be patient. Be long-suffering. Kindness. Now, there's a good one. Kindness. What's the opposite of kindness? Mean? How about nasty? How about ugly? How about sarcastic?
Ooh.
Unmerciful. You know what? If you are unmerciful to people, you are your own worst enemy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's the it's a perfect justice system. You judge, you'll be judged. You judge yourself, you won't be judged. If you are unmerciful, guess what? You're locking yourself up from God's mercy. If you're unforgiving, you're locking yourself out from God's forgiveness. It's a trap of the enemy. Kindness undoes that. Kindness. So, well, if I turn the other cheek, I mean, that's like, if I just act kind to everybody, they're going to take advantage of me. I can't be just a doormat for everybody. Nobody's asking to be a doormat. Kindness is not a weakness. It is power. Kindness is a release of power, spiritual power. You know, try it. It'll change things for you. Goodness is the word. It's like beneficence. It's being benevolent. It's being in a position and a readiness to help people, to benefit others. I'm still kind of emotional over that woman. God is so good. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Having a disposition to benefit others. The opposite of that is self-centeredness. That's like when stars are dying. The gravity in that star is so powerful it sucks back in the light. And those were the black holes in space. That's what that is. And when you start to die on the vine, you're sucking in all the light that God has given you. And it's not doing you one bit of good. Goodness is an amazing, amazing quality. Faithfulness. Ah, there we are. The law of promotion. You know what the word for faithfulness is? It's the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And it's the same word for faith. When Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Faith, it's the same exact word. Faith, committed and consistent fellowship with the Father, unbroken fellowship with the Father, to have one's identity in Christ. 1 John 1:3 says this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're in fellowship with him, if you are enjoying his faithfulness and he's enjoying your faithfulness, there's a trust there. There's a bond there of fellowship that the devil cannot break. There's no way he can get in there. No way. I mean, look, if he tried to mess with you and you're one of God's, he sees that fruit, and that fruit is talking for you, and that fruit says something to him, and it says, you better watch it. You better not come against him, one of God's own, who he has ordained to bear this fruit, unless you want to deal with 1,000 legions of angels who can get here at the speed of light. Amen. You know, we are joint heirs with Christ. If Jesus could call 12 legions of angels, don't you think you can? I'm telling you, we're leaving benefits on the table. We're leaving things on the table that belong to us, and the devil has convinced us that it can't happen. He made Joseph from the pit to the pendulum in a couple of hours. He can do it, and he wasn't even the child of God. He was not born again. Nobody was born again until Jesus rose from the dead. He was still a fallen man, but yet he had something working for him called faithfulness. And no matter what situation he was in, he just seemed to rise above it. And God would work with him. Praise God. Woo-hoo. God. We have, how many examples do we have? Stephen. Faithful. Philip, the evangelist, faithful to go down to Samaria and preach Christ to them. Bold, because that just wasn't done in that day. Samaritans were less than dogs to the Jew. Peter, faithful. I mean, he stumbled, but that's good. I'm glad he did because it helps me. I mean, Peter, I can relate to him really good. And if Peter could do that, deny the three times after the Lord told him that you're going to do that, you'd think he would have built up some kind of a defense. But life goes on and you forget. And your mind just is filled with the wrong things and boom, the devil got you. And just as he said that the third time, there's Jesus locking eyes with him. But it wasn't of condemnation. It's like, remember, I told you that you're going to come back. You're going to do good. You're mine. You're going to come back. And when you are old, that's why when Peter was in that prison and they were going to execute him the next day, he was perfectly sound asleep because he knew he wasn't going to get killed because Jesus already told him that when he's old. What's Jesus told you? It's filled right here with what his sayings are to you. You got Silas, Barnabas, you know, the love of God. When the rich young ruler came, and so, with such show and such pretense, came running, pushed these meaningless people out of the way. And he came and bowed before, kneeled before Jesus and said, Master, good Master, what must I do to be saved, to have eternal life? Jesus, I don't know how he didn't start burst out laughing at this. I mean, you talk about pride just exuding from it. You know the commandments. What does it say? Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. He said, I have observed all these things from my youth. You know, I'm sure Jesus could have opened a few closets. But it's what did he do? Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He gave him the look of love. He gave him that look of love. That's why he went away grieved, because that love opened a door to him to see something. How empty and shallow, but also how attached he was to those riches that he had, those possessions that he had, that somehow he had to override that and go back. And he walked away. But you know, in the fourth chapter of Acts, he came back. His name is Barnabas. You can put it together. And he finally reached a point where he had lands and he sold them all and he put the money at the apostles' feet. And he said, here it is. It's all yours. And they called, his real name is Joseph. But they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What he did brought such encouragement to Peter and the apostles at that time that they needed it. Praise God. God knows exactly where things are. Believe him. Start employing these things. Meekness, humility. You know, pride is an ugly thing. It's unable to admit faults, flaws, or mistakes. Pride believes lies, it's easily deceived. The pride of your heart has deceived you, it says in Obadiah 3. Tells lies. Pride is an interrupter. You ever meet somebody who just, you're in the middle of saying something, and they interrupt you because obviously something they have to say is so much more important than what you have to say. And they can't receive from, pride cannot receive from anyone. It talks over people. Pride is an interrupter. It's always one-upping. Pride says, yeah, I got one of those two. In fact, I got three of those at home. And yeah, I got this. I got this. It's a so-and-so suit. Yeah, thanks. And I got it at such and such a place. And so-and-so is with me when I get, you know, it's a name dropper. It's everything else. Pride is ugly stuff. And you don't want it in your life. You want to exude humility. Why? Because it ministers grace. It ministers grace to people. Meekness, humility. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, because grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humility, the fruit of humility, meekness. That alone can drive the devil away. I have a lot to go through here. Can you give me just a couple of extra minutes here? 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, 90% of the body of Christ checks out right here. This is, they're not talking to me. I'm not the rich. You got to start identifying yourself as you have the riches of God. You are rich. Now, this says rich of this world. Who says that God doesn't want you rich? That goes opposite of everything that God, you know, it's like they have the Old Testament God, which brought wealth to people, but the New Testament God doesn't, when we have a better covenant. You think he made all this stuff for the devil's kids? We've allowed religion to twist our thinking and to get anti-scripture. Charge those who are rich in this world. He's talking to Christians here. That they be not high-minded. That's what he's against. High-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The living God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So if you get something you like and somebody says, well, what business does that have in the kingdom? I mean, what can you use that for God for? You say, well, I've got scripture for it. I enjoy it. Thank you for that thunderous Presbyterian silence. Yeah, that should be dancing ground to a lot of you. Provisions. You know what attracts the provisions of this world? Generosity. This is why God wants us to open up tithe. Tithe, the word tithe means 10%. 10% of you, if the church would open up and do that, we wouldn't have this, we would be walking in the principles of the kingdom of heaven, and God would bless this nation again so richly if Christians would just open up and start tithing. And you know what? He promises about tithing. He says, if you do this for me, I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. He said, test me in this and see if I don't back this up. He will. You need to test him in it. That's the only thing he said, test me in. So that's a challenge. That's a gauntlet. Do it. Do it. Do it. It was to me anyways. I started doing it and wow, things got good. That's right. It's high-mindedness. It's looking down your nose at people who don't have what you have. You know, things, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not, what, high-minded. That's pride, haughtiness. That's what God hates. He hates pride. And you know what? We ought to do the same thing. We ought to, not just a little bit. In fact, eliminate pride from your vocabulary. When you say, oh, I'm so proud of you. Really? No. How about, I'm so thankful for you. I am so blessed by you. Just watching you, you know, grow in the Lord and stuff. Just get pride and proud out of your vocabulary. It has no business there. It's a misuse of words. It's high-mindedness. Romans chapter 12. Here's some attribute of pride. Romans 12, 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. See the language here? High. That's proud. But condescend to men of low estate. In other words, don't be embarrassed to be with people who don't have much. Of low estate. But be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's evidence of pride in your life. The definition of pride is high, lofty. It's an overestimation of one's importance or value. You know, Jesus said, come to me, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Pride, on the other hand, is braggadocio. That's another definition of pride, braggadocio. It means you're boasting and bragging. Pride is also associated with being puffed up. Remember when Paul said knowledge puffs up, love builds up? So another way pride is described too, in one of the definitions, is to envelop with smoke. So if you get the picture here, pride is high, puffed up, and blowing smoke. That's an empty, wasted life. Humility loves the truth. And Jesus loved the truth. High, puffed up, and blowing smoke. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. How do you do that? You submit to God. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you in due time. We talked about due time. What is due time? That's usually a lot longer than your flesh is willing to stand. But if you stand, having done all to stand, you're going to see the power of God come in your life. Then you've got gentleness. Gentleness is excellence of character. This is the way it's talked about, excellence. Like Daniel had an excellent spirit. Joseph had an excellent spirit. You know how you know? When both of these men had a chance to take revenge against those who betrayed them, those who set them up, like Joseph's brothers. Daniel had people that set him up to go and get thrown in the lion's den. He didn't take revenge. Either did Joseph against his brothers. He put God first and says, you know what? God had a greater purpose for this. And he brought them all in, and they put them in the land of Goshen. I'll tell you something. Joseph became the second most powerful man on earth because he had an excellent, he was gentle. Self-control is the last one. Mastering one's own weaknesses, emotions, suspicions, reactions, and in regard to outward stimuli, seemingly becoming immune. That's self-control. Immune to what's going on. Not allowing somebody who cuts you off on the highway, not allowing that to ruin your day. Or with me, the trigger in me is this person is going 35 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone, and I'm late.
Of course.
Of course. That's what I should say to myself. Of course. This is a grace opportunity. This is a humility opportunity. This is a submission opportunity. Oh, you see how sneaky this is? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is God. God is love. The fruit of Spirit is God. And he is in you. And there's nothing you can't do because God is in you. And when you start to exude the nature of God, the love of God, the joy of the Lord, which is the peace of God, which annihilates the storms that are coming at you, when you operate in these gifts and you refuse to give one place to those other things, take a bag of rocks like this, label them, and keep a list, and just throw them right through whatever you have to throw them through. Just to get rid of, and just say, I am done with this awful life. Become, take stock of this. Look, make submission to him, submission to the Word, submission to the Holy Spirit to speak his narrative, what he's speaking. Take those things and wrap them up and put them down in your heart and take stock of these things. These are real, real, real PowerPoints. in your life. Become accountable. If you're not totally sold out and accountable to God, where is my money going? Where is my priorities going? My time with my family? What is that? What are my priorities? Let me bring them to God and be accountable to Him. And you know what? He'll give you what you, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, He wants to know if you're going to be accountable to Him and hold yourself accountable to the responsibilities that you have in your life. Then, when you ask whatsoever, He's in position to give it to you. Accountability. Don't consider it something to aspire to. Put it into practice because you already have it. It's a taproot that you can feed from. Commit to truth. Regardless of your present circumstances, be consistent. When you experience negativity, go to God. And remember this, as a believer, you, as the Apostle Paul, who is our brother, he said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. These are secrets. These are the things that God opens up to show you the power of them, to show you the benefits they will bring to your life, to show you how you can reach a world that won't call you a hypocrite. They couldn't call Stephen that. They couldn't call Paul that. He put his life on the line right in his life. He said, look, if I die, it's gain. But it's more necessary that I be here. There is a valuable package in you that the world needs to see and that you need to see too. Submit to God. Be accountable to God. Commit to Him. Be consistent in the valley, in the mountain, whatever. Am I cutting in and out? Take your hands off of this thing. God has a better plan for you. Yes. Amen? Yes. And He's given us a roadmap. And He's given us like the golden brick, the yellow brick road. He says, here it is. This is the way to it. Let's do it, okay? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that these things are gone. And that we're... We are being high and lifted up because You exalt us, not because we exalt ourselves. We thank You, Father, that the Word of God is not void in our life. It doesn't make us void or our purpose in this life or our plans. But in fact, it fills us with everything. All it requires is that we take You at Your word and do it. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, Father, for Your presence here today. We thank You for the angels that will follow us, that will bring messages to us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who will speak to us and bring us revelation and understanding of exactly what to do when we need to do it, and that we will be more than conquerors from this point on. In Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. Say this, angels of heaven, angels go forth, make my way prosperous. Spirit, soul, body, financially, and relationally. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Oh, God's good.